I've had the privilege to be your pastor for just a few weeks shy of 7 years. And in those 7 years, this is the third time, I believe, that Andrew and Yolanda have been with us. So it must be my preaching that draws them back. No. You never get to hear me preach. I let you talk, so. It is always a joy to have them come back and share what God has done over the past 2 years in their location in Zimbabwe. It is so exciting when we can hear, what is God doing? How is He using His servants elsewhere to point to Jesus Christ, to get the gospel out there so they can hear it, and His Holy Spirit works through the talking and teaching and preaching of His Word to transform lives and make them His adopted sons and daughters. It was a lot of fun yesterday at two different times to hear them talk about life in Zimbabwe. For those of you who do not like change, I would highly recommend, unless God takes you there, you don't move. You don't know from hour to hour sometimes whether you'll have electricity or water or other what else may happen. But that's what gives you the ability to fall hard upon the Lord. You have to trust Him to provide for all things. Sometimes we take so many things for granted, we think we're the providers. We think we're the ones who create and make things. No, this is all God, and we rejoice in Him. So, Andrew and Yolanda, come and greet us. Tell us what God is doing. When you are done, please don't walk away from here, because I want to come up and I want to pray for you. All right? But please come and bless us with what God is doing. Now, I see Yolanda coming. Andrew, I know you love getting in front of people, right? I at least have to have you stand up and turn. So those who don't know you yet, this is Andrew. He's the one who makes the machine run.
Yes.
But Yolanda is the face and the voice of all of that. Did I get that right?
Totally accurate. Yes, definitely. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So
I was told I have about 25-30 minutes
to speak. But then yesterday I heard that Pastor Kevin sometimes preaches for 45 minutes. I just don't think that's fair. I mean, I think I should at least be allotted 45 minutes then. That's okay. Don't worry. I will stick 30 minutes. You know, I'm going to take the full 30, yeah. Okay. We are so excited to be here today. We have loved coming back to Albion multiple times. We've been back at least, is this our fifth time being back? Third time since Pastor Kevin and Ann have been here. But we love this church. We are so blessed with just wonderful churches that we call family. You are family to us, and we feel so incredibly blessed to come back every 2 years, give you an update on the ministry of Jesu Ministries to Zim. This is not just our ministry, this is your ministry. We love that we have the opportunity to partner with you, and you get to partner with us so that we can be the of Jesus in Zimbabwe. So thank you so much for that, church. So I've already been introduced. My name is Yolanda. My husband is Andrew, and we minister with Jesu Ministries to Zim. Oh, it would help if I put it on. There we go. All right, so I'm going to keep this really brief. We've been back many years, but if anybody is new since we have visited the last 2 years, we are in Zimbabwe, Africa. That's in Southern Africa. And we minister to women and children. So our mission statement is to create a system of support services that benefit women and children by meeting their physical, their emotional, and their spiritual needs. Is something wrong with this mic? Should I get a different one? Can I use a handheld, or should I keep going? It's working. All right, we'll keep going. I have a booming voice. If it needs to come off, that's okay, so we work with women and children. So before I start, I do this every time because it's essential and it's needed. I need to say thank you. Thank you to you, church. If you tithe to this church, if you call this church home, some of what you tithe is sent all the way to Africa to Andrew and myself to benefit the women and children that we work with and minister to. So thank you, church. Thank you for helping us be able to do the work that God has called us to do. Is she coming up to see me? All right. Perfect. Okay, is that better? Fantastic. Okay, so I love technology when it works. So church, thank you. And again, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You may never have the opportunity this side of heaven to meet the women and children we work with. But one day, if you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Christ follower, and you enter heaven, you will get to meet some of the women we work with. And you will have the opportunity to know that you have played an integral role in helping that woman and that child meet face to face with Jesus. And every time it makes me emotional, because that's what we do. That's at the heart of what we do, to share the saving grace of Jesus. Thank you for being a part of that and playing a role in that and allowing us the opportunity to do just that. So our discipleship groups, we have two of them that meet every week. I want to share a little bit of at least one lady. This is at the core of everything that we do. In fact, if you have your Bibles, if you want to open up to the New Testament, Matthew 28. It is the first book in the New Testament. And if we turn to the last chapter of Matthew 28, it's called the Great Commission. I have read it many times, and I will read it again because you can't hear it too many times. If we turn to the last two verses of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, let's read the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, yes, discipleship, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And yes, the encouragement. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is at the heart of everything we do. Discipleship. And we are so privileged to come alongside women and to have been able to see the maturity and the growth that has taken place in the lives of these women and children. One of those ladies is Mai Mukandi. Mai Mukandi is the one holding a microphone and standing up front. So Mai Mukandi is on our Tuesday group. She had the opportunity to be the main speaker at her church conference. It was her denominational province-wide church conference. There were 3,000 women in attendance. And I was privileged to hear her message that another one of the ladies in our discipleship groups recorded, and I was able to hear it. She spoke in her mother tongue, Shona, and as she was speaking, it was like I could hear myself. Everything I had been talking about for literally the past 7-8 years, I was hearing Mai Mukandi share. Now, what I don't want you to hear is, oh, wow, look how great Yolanda is. They got to repeat everything. No, what I want you to hear is how Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Discipleship. In this country, you might call it plagiarism. I'm just kidding. Seriously, though, this is what discipleship is. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he has taught. Now go and tell somebody else about it. And that's exactly what Mai Mukandi did. You see, Mai Mukandi reached 3,000 women. We only have 17 women who we disciple. Only. But you see, it's not just the 17 women. It's all the people that they get to reach. All the people they get to minister to. She gets to speak in her mother tongue. She gets to connect with the women who know her, have a relationship with her, who will hear what she has to say. She said, you need a relationship with Jesus. You need to confess. You need to profess that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. You need to repent. You need to do a 180 and turn away from your life of sin. She was challenging those women. Wow, what a platform. 3,000 women got to hear the gospel message. And truly, I consider that one of our great success stories through the ministry of James to Z. Another one of our programs, our education sponsorship program. I'm not going to go into detail about what that's about, but I want to share one story with you. Little Weston, he's the one in the picture over here. He has got 3 medals, and he's part of our education sponsorship program. He got 3 medals, 1 for English, 1 for math, and 1 for coming 3rd in his grade. He just started 2nd grade this January. So every day, Andrew does homework with him. And which is great. He's a great student, and he really pays attention. But they were doing math, and they were doing story problems. So if so-and-so has so many tomatoes, and they get 2 more, how many will it be, etc.? And old Weston turns around, and he says, "This is silly. Why don't they just say 1 plus 2? Because it's 3. So Andrew said, "Well, one day you may end up needing to sell tomatoes on the side of the road. That's extremely common in Zimbabwe, to be a vendor who sells eggs, who sells fruit, vegetables, secondhand clothes, and they do that on the side of the road." He said, "You will need to know that if somebody gives you money, how much change you need to give them or how many tomatoes you need to give them." Well, now I need to give you a little bit more background about Little Weston. Little Weston wants to be a pilot. In fact, when it was career day at school, he got to wear a little pilot's uniform, because when he grows up, he's going to be a pilot. And his report, absolutely, aw. And his report card is fantastic. I mean, okay, he's in 1st grade. But the point is, he's doing really, really well. His teacher says, "Excellent, brilliant, fantastic, good work, well done." So when Andrew told him, "You'll need to know how many tomatoes to sell and what the change is," he looks at Andrew completely disgusted. He says, "I am not going to sell tomatoes." He said, "I'm going to be a pilot." And Andrew says, "Wow, if you're going to be a pilot, you really need to know math." He said, "Okay, let's get back to it then." And you know what? I love it. It proves that through our education program, kids have an opportunity to dream big, and to believe that they can become more. And you know what? I believe Little Weston can become a pilot. And I'm so excited to see where God takes him one day and how much bigger his world is going to become. But until then, he'll be counting how many tomatoes he needs to make 3. Another one of our programs, our medical assistance program. Gosh, there's so many stories in this area that I can share. But I mean, mostly we, from week to week, we hand out things like vitamins or headache tablets. You know, basic things. Neither of us have a medical degree. Things that you feel comfortable giving to your own child, we feel comfortable handing out. But we end up helping with ear infections, broken bones, x-rays, doctor's consultations, whatever is needed. But we're also the final resort for many of these women. They don't have a plan B. They don't have medical insurance. There is no support network that if they find themselves in a crisis and they don't have the means to pay to meet that crisis, we might be the final resort between life and death, quite literally, for some of these women. And you see, the thing is, these women don't just turn to us immediately. They don't just come and ask us for money. In fact, they spend every last dime they have before they turn to us. In fact, one such story is my Whisper. She's in the middle holding her precious little baby that she'd just given birth to. She had an emergency C-section. And she had called us to say, "I need blood. I need to have an emergency C-section." We spent all $16 to our name. We need $38 more. I said, "We'll be right there." The thing about my Whisper is that she was rolled into surgery, and as she lay there, she heard the surgeon say to the other medical professionals, I've never done this before. To which a nurse responded with, I've seen it done before. I can walk you through it. She said that she lay there believing that that very moment, that day, she was going to meet her maker. She also heard that she needed to have a couple pints of blood and they only had one pint on hand. And as she lay there, strapped to the table, she said, Lord, I'm at peace. I'm ready to meet you. She said, I know my baby will be fine. I know my three girls at home will be fine because they are in your arms and you are in control. And so I'm ready to meet you. I'm very grateful to say that God spared her life and she made it through that surgery. And we were able to come alongside her, meet those medical needs, and to help her through that crisis. Her baby girl is called Talitha from Mark 5, verse 40, a story where there was a little girl who'd passed away, and Jesus said, no, she's just sleeping. And he said, Talitha cum, little girl, arise. And she said, I was dead, but now I am alive, and Talitha will be her name. Wow. What a testimony, and what a story that little girl will have as she grows up. Another one of our programs, our micro enterprises and crafts. We helped two ladies start new micro enterprises this year. One started a chicken business, and another one, micro enterprise means small business, and another one started a fishing business where she buys fish and resells them. And then we also have our ladies who've made crafts. Many of you have already passed by the display tables. Many of you have already bought items as the baskets are already starting to look empty. Thank you very much. I love that some of our widows, they are the ones who made the hats and the mug warmers and the socks, the slipper socks, which is a picture you see. One of our widows, she turned around and she put a picture on her WhatsApp, which is an app, and she said, ready for the market. She's so excited that there are people here in the United States who want to purchase her items that she has made. And so she posted it for everybody to see, ready for the market. Well, I want to tell you just exactly how do these micro enterprises and how do these craft items that the women sell, how do they actually benefit these ladies? So first I'll start with the micro enterprises. One of our ladies, her name is Maya Tamuline. Maya Tamuline, children can take part in our education sponsorship program up until the last year of high school. And then we stop. We don't assist with university or college. But Maya Tamuline started a chicken business through our micro enterprise program about 7 years ago. And so she has assisted and helped her son go through university and get a trade, which ensures that he is able to get a job in a country that has a 90% unemployment rate. And he just graduated last year because the profits from her business allowed her to send her son to university. Wow. That is the kind of impact these small businesses can make in the lives of these women. Another one of our ladies, Mai Chiuzi. The last time we were here 2 years ago, we ended up selling animals. We ended up selling all the other crafts that the widows made. And Mai Chiuzi sold animals, and we went back, and we spent the first 3 weeks vision planning with the women. We said, let's pretend you had $100. What would you do with it? What about $200? $300? What could you do with that money to make that money more? Because all of them have an immediate need that they could literally take that money and immediately spend it. But we wanted to ensure that the profit they made, they could actually use and it would make more money. So we said, let's dream. When I said, imagine if you had $200, the woman laughed. They said, oh, well, that's impossible. It was like telling somebody, imagine if you won the lottery. It just sounded absurd. I said, let's pretend. So we planned. If you had $100, what could you do with that? What is your goal? Okay, you want to cover your water bill. You want to connect to electricity. You want to expand your chicken business. Great. Let's see how we can make that happen. Well, after 3 weeks, we ended up telling the ladies just how much money they made. And the lady who made the least amount of money was $150. And the lady who made the most amount of money was $650. You need to understand, these women make less than $2 a day. It was like giving them 6 weeks' salary or 6 months' salary. It was massive. So my Chiritzi, who had 25 chickens already, which barely allows you to make a profit. You're really just breaking even at 25 chicks. She took her profit and she went and bought 75. No, sorry. She went and bought enough chickens to make 150. Clearly, I'm not good at math. I went to Bible college. And so, she now has 150 chicks and she is able to meet her financial needs for her and her family. This is huge because during COVID, her husband lost his job, which allowed him to work overseas, and he is unable to find new work in Zimbabwe. Again, remember the 90% unemployment rate. But now my Chiritzi is able to meet all the financial needs for her family because of the animals that were sold and the profit she made. Praise the Lord, amen. So our kids program, you've heard me talk about this many times, very similar to a VBS. But I want to share one story with you. This lady right here, she also had an emergency C-section. She had an incredibly difficult pregnancy. She had to be in bed for about 3 months, her last trimester. Anyway, she was on maternity leave, and she found out that we are going to have our kids program. And I said, okay, well, we need to figure out a new teacher. She has often been a teacher in the past for our younger kids, but she ended up finding a job. So I said to her, okay, well, let's find somebody to take this place. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you're not going to be available. You're recovering. She said, what? No, I look forward to this. I'm on maternity leave, which means I'm not working, which means I can be there to help teach the children God's word. So when her baby was just 6 weeks old, my dean is over there teaching the little kids about Psalm 23 and the good shepherd that is Jesus. In fact, I have some pictures. I know my audience. I have some pictures where my dean is holding her daughter to her breast, feeding her baby as she goes on teaching the word of God. Now, you ladies, you know what a big deal this is. I mean, if there ever was a superwoman, it's her. This desire to share the knowledge of Jesus and who God is with the next generation. Do you have that excitement? Do you have that passion? Because you have this message that the world needs to hear. We also had a one-day program. In December, we had a one-day program. And one of our ladies, Mai Tsitsi, you can see her right over there. Mai Tsitsi, she actually has a small parcel of land out on a farm, about an hour and a half away from where we minister and the town that we minister in. Well, she had built relationships with people in her village in the rural area. And she was able to invite a little girl to come with her to the one-day program. She paid for the transport. She let the little girl stay with her overnight. And she got to hear all about the nativity story and who Jesus is, the perfect gift for mankind. Well, she ended up going home. And this little girl brought a friend the very next week to Mai Tsitsi. And she said, tell her the Jesus story. So my sissy said to me, do you have a Shauna Children's Bible? I said, absolutely. We gave her a Shauna Children's Bible. We gave her some coloring pages, as you can see, some leftover coloring pages, and one pack of crayons. And every week, this little girl would bring a different friend from her school, maybe a year older, maybe a couple years younger. And she would come to my sissy and she would say, tell the Jesus story. And every week they would gather under a tree and my Tsitsi would open up the children's book and she would show the pictures in the Bible and she would share the story of Jesus. And then from our food hampers, she would take some food. Sometimes it was just rice, dry rice, nothing out. But she'd cook up a pot of rice, and everybody would get a little bit of rice to eat. It might be the first thing those children had eaten that day. So their bellies were at least full, and so were their hearts, with the knowledge and saving grace of who Jesus is. You see, that little girl was being a disciple. That little girl was bringing people to hear the gospel. My challenge to you, when was the last time you invited somebody to church? You might say, well, I'm just not a talker. I know God's word, but I just, you know, I lack the ability to tell somebody about who Jesus is. I guarantee you, Pastor Kevin does not. I challenge you to invite somebody to church so they can be told about the story of Jesus. If a 9-year-old little girl can do it, I know you can. I'm excited to see what this church looks like in 2 years when we return. In Zimbabwe, we have a water crisis. And one of our ladies, my whisper, the one who had a little baby, she would go down to the river and she would wash her laundry. This is a photo from her. She was washing her laundry. Her toddler would sit on the stones. And she's 8.5 months pregnant. She's washing her laundry in the river, and then she has to transport her laundry along with drinking water for the week home so that they actually have water. Last year, 4 grown men were taken by a crocodile in this river. But this is the main water source for many women whose water is switched off, which means water that they get from taps, the city switches it off. They don't have access to it. When they do have water, it's sort of a brown shade and has a bad smell to it. But it's the only water they have access to. The problem is they leave their taps open and they put a little bucket under it so that when the water comes on at 2 in the morning and they hear the water dripping in a bucket, they immediately get up and get as many containers as they do and fill as many containers up. Because, for example, my whisper, she had no water for 3 weeks solid. We have ladies who come to our discipleship group and they just bring a gallon container to fill up with water from our well. And they say, this is our drinking water for the week. For the week. Because we know that this is good water and clean water. The thing is, they might have a bucket. They get containers from the dump, like ice cream tubs. But when the water comes on, they need a place to store the water, and they don't have the ability to do that. So when we had our mission team come down last April who helped out with our kids program, we had a couple come down from one of our supporting churches. We said every time a couple comes, we ask them to raise money for a special project. And this time we said, can we take that money and put it towards water containers? Can we bless the women in our discipleship group with 55-gallon buckets so they have a place to store water? They said, please do that. So we were able to purchase 17 barrels, and we were able to deliver them directly to their home. And now my whisper says, not only do I not have to walk and carry my toddler and now my brand-new baby and my laundry and the bucket to the river, but I don't have to keep an eye on my toddler and ensure that a crocodile won't take her. She said, I have a huge barrel of water that I get to fill up as soon as water comes on, and it lost us for a long period of time. That might not seem like a lot of water, but for somebody who says they have a gallon for the week for drinking, 55 gallons is huge. It makes a significant difference. I want to tell you about our food hampers. We have a food hamper program, and we started this in COVID as an essential need. And we haven't stopped it since then because, again, 90% unemployment rate and a terrible economy. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Post-COVID, did your grocery bill go up? Just a little, right? This is a worldwide problem. Right? We have all struggled with the expenses. The housing market is crazy, right? We understand that. But let me give you a little bit of understanding of what it's like in Zimbabwe. Last year, the inflation rate in the U.S. was 3.1%. One item, I want to show you one item in Zimbabwe was a bottle of orange juice from April to September went up 72.2%. That was the inflation rate for one item. And of that item, in fact, last year, the monetary fund that determines inflation rates of the world said Zimbabwe's inflation rate was 638%, the highest in the world. Higher than Sudan, higher than Ukraine, higher than Venezuela. These are countries that are in war. Zimbabwe is supposedly in peacetime, right? And yet, their inflation rate is the highest in the world. So even when these women are part of our programs, and even when these women are able to have their own small businesses, understand how far their money actually goes. Not very far. And that's why our food hampers are essential. So I want to tell you about our women's conference. We had our very first women's conference. And I have a big smile on my face because this was exciting. I mean, this was a huge deal. We had 150 women attend, and our conference was entitled Salvation, the Greatest Gift. The conference was just about what it means to become a Christian. Pretty basic, right? But it was essential in a country that believes that 85% of the population is Christian. Kind of like how everybody in the Midwest thinks. Ever heard that? Oh, I'm a Christian. Okay? No. We needed to share, what does it mean to be a believer in Christ? And we are so excited. At the end of 3 days, we had 20 women come to the front and make the decision to follow Jesus and to accept Jesus Christ into their heart after they had heard and been informed of who he is. This was not an emotional decision. This was not a mass decision made by plenty, something that is a struggle in Zimbabwe. This was an informed decision about what it means to receive eternal salvation. And what that means for you. And then right after that, we happened to have the baptistry open. And I said, hey, there's water. Anybody want to be baptized? We had 18 women be baptized. But here's the thing. Half of that number were not these women that stood up front. Some of these women wanted to go home and do it in their church. Awesome. These women who were baptized, half of them came from the crowd who didn't even stand up front. They said, you know, I've been following Jesus. I love Jesus, but I haven't done this yet. Can I? And like the Ethiopian eunuch, I said, yeah, it's water. What stops you from doing that? Wow. So exciting. Church, when you get to heaven, remember these faces. Because you played a role in them hearing the gospel. Thank you, church. Thank you. Along with that, we handed out Shona Bibles. Shona is the native language in Zimbabwe. And we didn't tell the women these were gifts. We put them on the chairs. We had them use them every day. We would break up into small groups so that the women could read God's word for themselves. But on the last day, we said to the women, the Bible you've been using, that is yours. And this is what happened. They broke out in dance. They started singing. They started praising God. They started falling down flat on their faces before the altar and said, Mwari waka naka, God is good. Because they can't afford the $25 price tag of buying a Bible in a store. You see, many of these women make less than a dollar a day. Would you take 30 or 40%
of your salary to purchase a Bible? These women had access to God's word. And we know how important God's word is. God's word is life. Life. Please do not take this book for granted. I know at home you probably have multiple versions sitting on a bookshelf right now. There are people who are in their 30s, in their 60s, and in their 70s who have never had access to the word of God. Church, this is life and truth. Please don't take God's word for granted. We also started our very first listening group. We were able to access these small little devices. They're like mini radios, and they have the Shona Bible and the Ndebele Bible. The Ndebele is the minority tribe in Zimbabwe, already saved on these devices. And one of our ladies who is unable to read, we gave her the device. And two women from this conference, they're unable to read. So now they get together and they hear God's word on a weekly basis. And from the community, two other women heard and they joined the group. And so now there's five women who are unable to read who are able to listen to God's word on a weekly basis. And you know where they do it? Sitting outside under a tree by the main path where everybody passes. And they said multiple times we find groups of people just kind of slow down and stop and just hang out for a little while God's word is being spoken. And yes, the exciting thing about what happened, I told you about the listening group. But along with the listening group, after conference, we had 72 women sign up for an accountability group. And the women in our discipleship groups lead these accountability groups where 72 women get together every week and open up God's word and read it together and pray with one another and speak about what God's word is teaching and saying. Church, 72 women are plugged into the word every week. All glory to God, amen? Final story. I have no idea what time I started. So, final story. I got to read this for you. I don't usually do this, but I want to read a testimony, and I want you to hear the words directly from this woman. Her name is Florence, and Florence, she has a servant's heart. She is the first to always serve at our kids' program and cook over an open fire for 150, chopping up, prepping vegetables. She even cares for her grandson because her daughter remarried and the new husband did not want the child. And this is what Florence says. She says, "I am a widow and a single mother. Every day I walk from my home to Mzari for work." Mzari is the community we live in. It's a 1.5-hour walk. She says, "just to make ends meet. My health is poor. I have severe back pain. My legs hurt all the time. And yet God gives me strength. God makes up for the days I cannot work through the provision of the food hampers. Before being a part of this group," she's speaking about the discipleship groups, "I asked relatives for food and for help. They gave me bad mealie-meal." Mealie-meal is the staple diet in Zimbabwe. It's cornmeal. She said the mealie-meal was filled with bugs. She said all I could do was make mahehu. It's a yeasted drink. Doesn't taste good. It's kind of grainy. She said, "but it's all I could do in order to survive." She said, "it's hard to believe that Yolanda and Andrew," and when you hear our names, will you hear JM2Z? "It's hard to believe that JM2Z cares better for me than my own family. It reminds me that God loves me and is the one caring for all my needs." Amen. "I am so grateful. I did not know how I would pay for my children's schooling, but then through the education sponsorship program, my kids even get extra lessons and have school uniforms that actually fit them. I cannot say thank you enough." And this is when she begins to cry. When I started learning to crochet, people mocked me. They said, "How can I learn to crochet at my age?" But now I make a profit from the animals I make, and it helps me very, very much. When I first joined the discipleship group, so many people mocked me for attending a group that was led by a white person. They kept asking what I get in return. But I said, "I don't get anything. I just get to learn about the Bible." And that was for years before our education sponsorship program started and before the food hampers started. But then during COVID, during my time of greatest need, God provided. I lived like a king because of the food hampers, while others were starving. In fact, I was the one helping others, even those who had mocked me. And then she began to cry again. Thank you. Please thank your friends in America. Mwari waka naka. God is good. God is good. In closing, I have to bring this need up. We have started a fundraising campaign. I will keep this extremely brief. We've started a fundraising campaign where we are hoping to get 100 new donors. Church, you as a congregation, you already support us. But maybe as an individual, you may feel you would like to partner with us. You might want to pick a square, $10, $30, $50, $100, however much you feel the Spirit is leading you, however much you feel you're capable of doing. And if you pick a square, you commit to sponsoring us monthly. It's $55 for a food hamper. It's $45 for a kid to have an education. It's $25 to go to our kids' program. None of these things are free. And we're realizing we need to make some tough decisions on cutting programs if we don't get this partnership. But you know what? We're not worried about it. This is not an issue we're concerned about. Because in over a decade, God has always provided. My father owns cattle on 1,000 hills, amen? He's got this. This is not a concern for us. So if this is something you're interested in, please come and speak to us afterwards at our display table. Pick up a brochure, pick up a magnet to stick on your fridge so you can pray for us. Let us know when you pray for us. We are people who believe in the power of prayer, and we so are grateful for your prayers. Come visit us. You know, we are yet to have a mission team from this church, so we're excited to see who's going to come out and visit us. But just come stop by the display table, maybe pick something up. Thank you so much for your time, church. We so appreciate and love you.
I kept leaning over to Ann, says, "I'm not crying, you're crying." The passion in these two to take the simple gospel message of Jesus Christ and see it have hands and feet, not just the words. The words are the power to save, but the hands and the feet are what see these people come and benefit and get blessed. And then, like the little 9-year-old girl said, "Would you tell my friend the story of Jesus?" What a joy. I want to pray for Andrew and Yolanda, and then I'm going to send them back before the rest of you go, because I know you'll stop them. They'll never get to their table. There's not many of the little items left. I heard of one child who kept begging his mother, "We got to leave and get there early, because I know they're going to have those things for sale." So, good. What a joy that they can benefit so many in another land and help spread the gospel. So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of your Son and the life that we receive in Him, the adoption that is ours, the declaration that we are righteous in Christ Jesus. And thank you for Andrew and Yolanda, who take that message there in Zimbabwe and put it in such simple ways so that women and children will understand, believe and receive, and then they go and they tell others. Father, bless their ministry, bless their time here as they continue to travel from church to church and seek to motivate and inspire and report on what you are doing. Take them back home to Zimbabwe safely. Keep them safe while they are there, and let their ministry be powerfully effective through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.